This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of World Wide Wave, the international LGBT news and current affairs show, every week on Australia's first LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community. This is the World Wide Wave.
Yes, it's your weekly fix of international news and current affairs for the LGBTI community. It's World Wide Wave. We take you around the globe one country at a time. Big thank you to the Informer team, another great show, and Richard for bringing us up to date with the latest in local news. Joining me in the studio tonight, Will is here.
I am here. Hello, Matt. How are you?
Great. Welcome. Paul is here too.
Hello.
And I'm Matt. Now, if that old rule of 1 in 10 people are LGBTI, that would make the gay population of the country we are visiting tonight 6 times larger than the entire population of Australia. We are, of course, talking about China, where the local LGBTI community is becoming more visible and more vocal.
What is the internet storm that has galvanised the LGBTI community and their allies in China?
What are your chances of winning when you take on the Chinese government in court?
Is China's significant LGBTI community finding its voice? Lighting a rainbow-coloured flag in the heart of China, tonight we are joined by Yancy Pang, founder of LGBT Rights Advocacy of China.
Hi, this is Robert Beachy. I'm the author of Gay Berlin, speaking from South Korea on the World Wide Wave.
Yeah.
That was, now if you've been following Eurovision, and I know a lot of you would, that was actually by Sara Aalto, who's actually representing Finland. Now she's actually done a number of songs in Cantonese and Mandarin. And
wow.
That is the theme for tonight. It's Western singers singing in Cantonese and Mandarin, and that was the English version. The English title is Forgiveness.
And she does it so beautifully too. A little update from last week, because we had our show on the Commonwealth Games and Pride House, and you would have heard in the news the success that that has been, and lots of people raising the issue. There's certainly the CHOGM event, so the Commonwealth Heads of Government meeting, is being held immediately after the Games, and there's lots of pushes along there. There's a coalition, the Commonwealth Equality Network, who are, there's basically four forums that are being held, public interest forums being held as a part of CHOGM, and they've coordinated a whole group of LGBTI rights groups who will be represented at each of those forums to try again to push LGBT rights and make a change in the Commonwealth, which comprises, as we know, the majority of countries that still criminalise homosexuality. So good to see some progress happening there.
Taking you around the globe, one country at a time. This is your Fun Fast Facts.
We are, of course, in China tonight, where homosexuality is sometimes referred to as the passion of the cut sleeve or the divided peach.
It's funny,
isn't
that one.
Isn't that a beautiful way
it's
of putting
a charming
it.
Way
it
of putting
very
it.
Charming, yeah.
Lesbians call themselves Lesi or Lala, and these two terms have been abbreviated from their translation of the English term lesbian.
So Lala Land is that
has a totally different meaning.
Oh yeah, that we'll go there. The number of Chinese identifying as homosexual actually remains unclear. The Ministry of Health estimates there were 5 to 10 million homosexuals in China's mainland. So point.
I think they've got that completely wrong, in all
maybe.
Honesty. Less than 0.5%, they're saying. It's like,
that's
too low.
True.
That might have something to do with the political ideologies, and religions of ancient China regarded homosexuality actually as a normal facet of life, and in some cases promoted homosexuality relationships as exemplars.
Being enjoyable. I agree. That did all sort of change around the Tang Dynasty. Some of the writers were influenced by Christian and Islamic values, and I guess it was common, and then sort of became less thought of.
It seems to be a bit of a theme across the globe throughout the early ages where homosexuality was celebrated and embraced, and it's only been in the latter centuries where it's been
Religion came along.
Correct. I think that's been the common denominator across the world.
And in fact, it was only 2001 that China declassified homosexuality as a mental illness. Very recent.
Very recent. Now, same-sex marriage during 2006, the National People's Congress again and again in 2007 proposed the same-sex marriage bill. This bill was dismissed both times. In 2009, a male couple held a symbolic wedding in public, and China Daily took the photo of the two men in a passionate embrace across its pages.
2009 was a good year, actually, because China also had its first gay pride festival in Shanghai, and it also included an LGBT-themed film festival.
Unfortunately, in 2016, the state television and radio banned any images of homosexualities on television.
And continuing the downward trend, in December 2015, the Chinese Television Drama Production Industry Association posted new guidelines, including a ban on showing LGBT relationships on the television.
We're talking all things China on World Wide Web. LGBTI rights in China is not dinner table conversation, and the national government sends out mixed messages through its various departments and various rules. Today, China's social media platform, Weibo, which is kind of similar to Twitter, reversed a ban on homosexual content on their platform after just 3 days due to a major public outcry driven by the local LGBTI community. Yanzi Pang is an activist and founder of LGBT Rights Advocacy of China. We asked Yanzi what he thinks this reversal by Weibo says about China's LGBTI community.
Yeah, I think, how to say, we reach a time that LGBT community have brave to come out in this moment, because the Weibo's announced is very discriminating, and people use Weibo every day, and LGBT community use the social media to express themselves, and we also know the social media is the only way that LGBT community to approach the public people. And so the Weibo's decision on eliminate the LGBT content is very important, and very they angry everybody. So the community decide to come out on the social media. I think it's very important that we show our power during this period, and Weibo changed their decision because of thousands of people come out in this time, and they know that LGBT community keep the big pressure on them.
Do you think that these sorts of challenges actually help the community? They encourage people to speak up more?
Yeah, I think so, because compare the LGBT community in China and the West country, I think our community, although they face more pressure from the society, but they are more active. They can mobilize and get up because of the pressure. But if the pressure is too strong, like there are a regulation or law to forbid the LGBT, we don't have enough power. But this time, the pressure from the social media, we have some, how to say, approach to show our power. So I think it's a positive thing for us to mobilize everybody to come out. I think it's a positive opportunity.
And do you think, because it's social media, that it is more younger people who are speaking up?
Yeah. I think yes. And there are different sub community in our LGBT community. People who use social media or coming out in these 3 days are more young people and have knowledge. They have self-confidence, they are easily to mobilize. But during this time, more and more people, more and more elder people, so sorry I use this, more and more, I would say, people in city, in town, they are encouraged by the community.
That was Yanzi Pang, a vocal LGBTI activist in China. Coming up, we find out what happens when someone takes the government to court about LGBTI censorship. This is Worldwide Wave.
Dzień dobry. I am Kylie from Poland. It's great to have a place like Joy 94.9, where we can talk about trans issues from across the globe on a worldwide wave.
Be a wu ta xuan, wa ye jia mi, wo xin ji dong, zai wo de shang ming, zao yi zhu ding, dream meng shi shang cun de yan yin, shi dao ru jin, na hui pa tian xin, tian qiu wo xiang xin, zhe yi zhong xin qing, you shei gong ming, meng xiang rong wo ge.
Actually, an English singer-songwriter, Casey Kanigan, with This Is My Dream, again in Cantonese, I believe.
So many artists who have this second language. Good to hear.
I find it amazing. I can't even sing, let alone sing in Cantonese. How would you do that? That's incredible.
I'm trying to learn Spanish at the moment. I'm failing badly, so I completely understand.
There were some comments on social media about that, that his pronunciation apparently is virtually perfect. And he's not a Cantonese singer, speaker.
Wow. Love it.
I love it. Brilliant.
Look, if you've got some thoughts, if perhaps you are Chinese and you've got an experience within the LGBTI community, send us a message, 0427JOY949 or on air at joy.org.au. We'd love to hear from you. We are tonight in China and talking all things China's LGBTI rights. Yanzi Pang has been an LGBT activist in China virtually since he came out, and he was a part of a bold court challenge in Beijing seeking to force the government censorship agency to state why it disallowed LGBTI content. Yanzi tells us about the court challenge to the censorship of LGBT content on streaming services.
Yeah, and I think the Weibo decision 3 days ago is related to the national LGBT content ban in the internet. Last year in June, there is a regulation banning the LGBT content in all internet programs in China. So this regulation explicitly said that all the internet programs should not contend with LGBT, gay, the gay homosexuality is normal, and all the internet programs should not include this kind of content. So after this introduction of the ban, we launched a case. Young gay in Shanghai, he bring the case to the court, and we help him to communicate with the lawyer and plan the strategy. And this case was heard by the court this year in January. So after this hearing, we are waiting for the result. According to the law in China, we need to wait in half a year. So we don't know what's the result now.
Although you are quoted as saying you will probably lose the case against the government. Why do you think it's still important to bring that case?
Yes, we know we are suing the National Department about censorship. I think it's difficult for LGBT community to fight against them because we don't have enough discrimination law in China to support us. So I said we may lose the case. But in another hand, we think it's important to fight against them because I think we should make our voice loudly to everybody to show our power, to show our position. I think during the case, we have opportunity to express our position, and the knowledge about LGBT people is not abnormal. It's just normal friends as everyone. So I think suing is very important to the public. They have opportunity to know who we are.
Is it easier for you to challenge these decisions through the courts than through the government?
Yeah, it's not easy to do this because, as I said, we don't have any discrimination law in China. We don't have law to support us in the legal process. So that's why we do the call, do the case. We need to launch more and more gay rights legal campaign to ask for legal protection, equality in litigation. So that's why we bring the case. But it's not easy in the legal process, but we feel our community, they are very supportive, and more human rights lawyers support us. So I think it's a positive side.
You first came to our attention in Australia when you challenged gay conversion therapy in China.
Yeah. Mm.
Since that time, has there been any change to the use of gay conversion therapy?
Yeah, I bring the case in 2014 and we won the case. And in 2017, we won the second case about a gay people was enforced to curing in hospital. But during this year, we can know that more and more advertised because they used to advertise in the internet. But now they delete their advertisement about conversion therapy, but still have we have a survey last year. We calculate that around 170 hospital and clinic in China, they still doing conversion therapy because of lack of regulation from the National Health Department. We don't have any conversion therapy ban in China, so all the hospital and clinic, they do conversion therapy. They don't lack of punishment from the government, so they still exist now. So we don't feel many change until now.
That was Yancy Pang, founder of LGBT rights advocacy in China, and he seems to be a very well-spoken young gentleman.
He is. He's doing very well with the language. Interestingly, I mean, gay conversion therapy has come up a few times on tonight's show, this whole idea of being able to cure homosexuality. And I think particularly from China, when they were going through their one-child policy, the idea that the family name wouldn't carry on was something that was a very powerful motivator for parents to, you know,
well, it got even worse
anything.
Than that, didn't it? Because not to belittle that, but that's if they had a girl, they that baby would disappear. There were stories of girls just disappearing.
There is certainly a whole market around fake marriages in China as well, just to, you know, retain the appearance of regularity.
It's an interesting thing to analyse. I'd like to know where the government is getting this hard stance against the LGBTI community. You would think that some country that has tried to embrace population control or their overpopulation, you'd think they would embrace something like gay marriages, same-sex marriages, homosexuality community. You'd think that they'd be right up with all of that. It must be just a power thing that they're exercising. I'd love to know where they're coming from, because it's certainly not a religious...
Which country have you just been living in?
No, I realise that, but I mean...
Like our government really encouraged it, didn't they?
It kind of surprises me a little bit, you know, considering how much effort they put into population control. You'd think they'd take the opportunity to grab this and...
A lot of the restrictions they put in tend to group all sorts of things together. So the one that Yanzi was supporting, the legal challenge against around censorship, there was sort of this law covering anything that presented abnormal sexual lifestyles or behaviour, along with portrayals of Chinese imperialism, unhealthy views towards money and sexual violence. So let's just chuck all these things in and ban them, and we'll see how it goes. The reason that case has come up, because they had the ban for television, but then of course live streaming came along and they didn't have laws in place to reflect that. So I do think it's incredibly ballsy of him to you know,
very much so,
speak up and push these cases and challenge the norm in China.
This is something I haven't come across, and the question was raised here but just before. China's social media platform Weibo, is it called?
Similar
to Twitter, is that a government control platform?
No, it's a private organisation.
Okay.
Yes, their idea, they said in creating this ban, was they wanted to clean up certain areas and short videos, images related to pornography, bloody violence and homosexuality. Again, this whole grouping of anything we don't like under one policy. So very good that public pressure has caused them to yield. And we've got a bit more about Yanzi's personal story coming up here on Worldwide Wave. We are tonight in China.
Hi, this is Costa Gavrilidis, the president of Accept LGBT Cyprus, and you're on the Worldwide Wave.
That was another Sarah Alto tune, this time Blessed with Love.
In Mandarin.
In Mandarin.
Amazing.
Well, love it.
Actually, people should check out, she's done Let It Be in 25 different languages.
Oh my gosh. Oh. That is some skill set.
Yes.
Wow.
I wonder what Sing Matilda would sound like in Mandarin.
Throw it out to us. She might do it, you know. And we were just talking podcasts. Don't forget our podcasts are online at joy.org.au/worldwidewave. We've got Gaze at the Games, the Commonwealth Games, We Are Family, the Rainbow Families in the Asia Pacific, Syria, Pakistan, Hong Kong. They're just all our recent ones. We've covered over 140 countries.
Huge all across catalog, the world.
Indeed. And it's all on World Wide Wave.
Now, Yancy Pang publicly told his story of being the victim of gay conversion therapy in China. It was brave. He delivered a confronting yet human view of this horrible practice in the homes and TV sets of China. We ask him, how did you get involved in LGBT rights?
I came out very late, around my 25 years old, and I think I have already experienced the terrible and very difficult in my self-recognition, and it's very difficult to come out in the society in China. I think many LGBT people have the same difficulty as mine. So I think we need to change the situation, and in my age of 27, I start to join the LGBT movement, become a activist, and I think it's very important if we speak out in public and we advocate in the legal process, because that's the only way we can change the society and ask for the equalize ourselves, because we can't wait until they change itself. I think it's impossible if everyone just wait. So I think I want to, engage, mobilize more and more people in from our community to speak out. So that's why I joined the movement.
Is there any danger or risk to you in speaking out like that?
Not until now. I think even though we don't have any law to protect ourselves, but the LGBT in China is a kind of not legal but not illegal. So we have space to advocate. It's just have many challenges from the civil society aspect, because all the civil society have not enough space to advocate themselves.
So what do you hope will happen in terms of LGBT rights in China?
I'm not sure in this period, because it's kind of unstable. 2 or 3 years ago, there are more positive opportunity to make change. But now, you can see the public space or freedom to express ourselves is more and more difficult. But anyway, we still have to do something to make change. So just keep our mind positive, but we don't know what will happen.
Indeed. Well, we are cheering for you from the sidelines. Yancy Pang, keeping us up to date with LGBT rights in China. Thank you for joining us on World Wide Wave.
Thank you for my poor English.
No, you've done very well. Exceptionally well. I mean, so much better than my Mandarin, which is zilch. So
you beat me to it.
And my Cantonese is, you know,
it's interesting. There's been this, seems to be this slight swing back in acceptance of LGBT rights over recent years, as Yancy was mentioning. But still, you know, the local community seems to be making more noise, and I have confidence in that. It gives some heart that people are willing to speak up.
And look, we're seeing this across the globe. We're even seeing it in our own backyard, and we've just had our gay marriage vote. I don't know if you noticed that happened last year. Some of you may have passed some of you,
really? Missed that one.
But look, once again, the people had their say. Everyone supports it. It was great, and then now it's been passed through. I just get the feeling that people just had religious right are just having their last final kick, and that's the sense I get, and it's the sense I get across other countries around the world as well, maybe.
I mean, it's very courageous of them to actually take on a legal fight that they expect to lose.
Exactly, just to get people listening, attract attention. Good on them. Good luck. Well done, Yanzi Pang. You're on Worldwide Wave on Joy 94.9.
Hello, this is Wolfgang from Conchita-Wurst City, which is Vienna in Austria. You're listening to Worldwide Wave from Joy 94.9.
And I'll tell you one other area where China is ahead of Australia.
Yeah.
In universities in China, you can get a HIV testing kit in vending machines. So home testing, there you go. They're ahead of us. A big thank you to our guest tonight, Yanzi Pang, the founder of LGBT Rights Advocacy of China.
Messages Facebook, thanks to Kylie, Vanda, Yaz, Therese, Joss, and a heap more who have joined us and interacted with us on Facebook the past week. That's W3Joy on Facebook.
We would like to thank Alex, our podcaster, and as we said, all of our shows, you can find podcasted, and this one will be appearing shortly. And of course, the lovely Neil on the front desk for taking all those calls.
Thanks, Neil. And a big thank you to Dean, who's our social media man, who puts out news stories all around the world on our Facebook and Twitter. So it's W3Joy is the place to follow.
And our US roving reporter.
Indeed.
Now, Matt, what do we have coming up?
Urban Dreaming is following us, the team, looking at stories of resilience, survival, and connecting with culture and spirituality. Stick with us all night too. Triple Bypass, Local Roots, and Been There, Done That. What music have you got for us, Paul?
Well, I've got somebody quite famous doing some Cantonese or Mandarin. I apologize, I don't actually know which one it is, but this is actually Celine Dion.
Wow.
Singing in Chinese.
You've blown me away with your selections tonight. Well done. We'll catch you next week on Worldwide Wave. Thanks for listening to another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. Worldwide Wave is the international news and current affairs show on Australia's LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9. You can listen live every Tuesday night from 7 p.m. Eastern Australian Time on 94.9 FM in Melbourne or online across the world at joy.org.au. You'll find all of our podcasts at joy.org.au/worldwidewave. Or follow us on Facebook for the latest international LGBT news. Search W3Joy on Facebook now.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.